The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning.
It's 10 o'clock.
This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And it is an absolutely glorious TPC Saturday morning.
That it is.
I'd like to remind everybody that there are a lot of out-of-town people in. Take your time. You'll get there. If it takes five more minutes, wherever you're going, cut them some slack. They don't know where they're going. And they do know what they're going to do. And they're here to spend all kinds of money in our city, and I think we ought to welcome that with open arms. So just relax. Hope you can stay with us for the entire hour. And as always, we you know that we put callers to the top. And since we are having callers right from the top, good morning, Don.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to remind you of my visit to your office last Monday at your invitation.
Whoa, I know what, Don, this is now.
Yes, indeed. I just wanted to tell you that, as you know, I've been investing for 30 years, and through all sorts of hook and crook, I have visited 10 different advisors to look at their programs, and I want you men to know that you have provided more actual helpful information than all of them put together. And I just wanted to thank you for your help and for relieving my mind severely over where I was in my package.
Well, thank you. That is extremely kind of you. And it is what we attempt to do with everybody who comes in, as you know. But you know, 10 other people versus us, That's a rare praise and something that I cherish. So, thank
you. Don, it was a pleasure meeting with you, and thanks for the call.
And it's always nice to see people who have their ducks in a row too. You're doing just fine, and that should really help, because nowadays, you know this, everybody knows this, we're all in it together by ourselves. We're not going to be looking to the government anymore, and not going to be dependent on other people. That's why we've changed the term retirement into financial independence, because that's the goal for all of us. How about that?
Sounds good to me. I just I really do appreciate the fact that you're actually providing active and helpful information to people, and not appearing to just defend your trade secrets, as so many are doing.
Well, thank you. While I've got you, I have a trivia question that I haven't presented yet. You want to hear it and take a shot?
Go for it.
What percentage of retail sales is now done online in America? This is
46%.
No, it's way too high, and when you think about it, I'll tell you why. Because things like cars, really big ticket items, are not yet done that way. And I said not yet. I got a funny feeling that if you wait a year or two, all that's going to start changing. But it is too high, but we appreciate it, and I got the question out, and thank you so much for calling. Enjoy a beautiful weekend.
Thanks very much again for your help.
All right, our pleasure. Thank you.
There are also things that you just can't buy online, like gasoline.
There are. That's true.
You're not going to have that delivered to your house after purchasing it at Exxon.com.
Let's see if Amazon can figure that one out.
That would be impressive.
A drone with a gallon gas?
The way they're going, they might figure it out.
You never know. Well, like I said, we have callers. So, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
Well, my husband was supposed to be calling you this morning. We've been talking a lot lately about a reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to go do kayaking with my son. So
well, priorities are priorities.
That sounds like more fun anyway.
I got a duty to call. You know, there's a lot of negative things being said about it, and I'm just wondering, you know, what's your take on it? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Properly used, it is a wonderful thing. It is a genuine planning technique now. A few years ago, I probably would have told you a different story. But the things that a reverse mortgage can do for people are not able to be done any other way. That said, it has to fit your situation. So the first thing I ask anybody is, would you want that house to stay in your family when you're gone? In other words, do you think any of your kids or relatives would want the house?
And none of them live in Florida because they think it's too hot, which we don't understand. But
well, as they get older, that opinion will change. But that's a good thing because it can be something of an encumbrance when you're gone in that they have to buy out the reverse mortgage. But assuming that's true and that you have significant equity in the house because it is borrowing against your equity, then,
that's the point. You know, we have a lot of money invested in the house. We only have a small mortgage relative to the price of the house. So it does seem like it might be a good thing.
I think under that circumstance, it would be fine to sit down and start a discussion on that. Everybody's different, as you know. Every reverse mortgage means a little bit something else. But fundamentally, what you're talking about is paying off a small mortgage, never making another principal and interest payment as long as you live, and either having a lifetime income on top of that if you have enough equity, or establishing a credit line that you can use whenever you want to and never pay it back.
Well, what about all these things people are writing about getting, you know, losing their home? There was recently a story in the Times Union about, I think the husband died and the wife was forced out.
That won't happen anymore. It will happen with or without a reverse mortgage if one of three things fails to occur. If you don't maintain the house, if you don't insure the house, or if you don't pay your taxes, but it has nothing to do with the reverse mortgage. Those are the things you have to do to own your home.
Okay.
It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. Now, I think what's kind of sullying the name, and this is very ironic, the people who are out there selling these things, the Henry Winklers and that sort of thing, people have an inherent distrust when celebrities try to sell us something like gold and silver and reverse mortgages.
As they should.
As they should. I would be very skeptical when you hear famous people touting anything. Like Hannity, for instance. He's now selling annuities. Hello? Earth to Sean. Do you even know what it is? So, you know, what can you say? I think that is truly giving it a bad name. The best thing you can do is work with a true professional when it comes to this. And I always say that you should do it with and in conjunction with your other financial planners, attorneys, whatever. So we do have a very, very good reverse mortgage specialist. I'd be happy to put you in touch. And we will get that to you off the air, because I want him to sell himself on the air. I don't want to do it for him. He's listening. You know that. You want to take a quick shot at our trivia?
Sure. I have no idea, but I'll guess 15%.
Ooh, a little high, but you're sneaking up on it. Great guess. All right, we'll get your name and address, and I will put you in touch with our reverse specialist, and it's a good time to start a discussion. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye. Yeah, folks, all the things you hear about a reverse mortgage, most of them aren't true, except if it's used incorrectly, and then a lot of them are true. That's why it's so important to know that you're working with professionals, both your financial planners and your mortgage specialists. They have to know what they're doing. They have to be trustworthy and have been in the business for a while. All right, we're coming up on a hard break. We look forward to a special guest at 10:30, I believe. Don't go anywhere. We'll Be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-4915. 800-475-4915. 800-475-4915. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call.
Call 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. That's 800-738-1912.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Days like this, you can feel it, hear it, and see it growing out there. Give Troy a call, 662-9794. Trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. What percentage of what we buy retail nowadays do we do online? We know it's somewhat under 15 and above zero, so you have a bracket.
And the amazing thing about this is that it's up from zero about 20 years ago.
Exactly.
So it's a huge new part of the economy that didn't exist before.
Yeah, and it's catching a lot of bricks and mortar retailers kind of flat-footed, but the world changes. You better change with it. All right, a little bit about who we are, day jobs and so on. Adam's really good at this, so I'm just going to turn it over. Let her rip.
So in our day jobs, we're fee-only financial planners. We're located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit of Butler Boulevard in the midst of all the TPC traffic. So if you want to come see us, wait until next week. That's my advice. If you want to call,
that's my advice too, and yeah, that we won't be there.
It's a mess out there though right now. Oh, anyways, the office number is 904-685-1505. You can also find us online at vanweefinancial.com. And we do a lot of good stuff on our website, including post our podcasts weekly. And we do a blog about twice a week that covers a lot of things we talk about on air and then a few that we don't. So check back frequently. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/VanWeFinancial and Twitter at VanWeFinancial.
Okay, a lot of good ways. And we do offer a no obligation 1-hour consultation for the asking in our office. And as Don told you all, if you were listening at the top of the hour, we are not hard sell people. If you are doing just fine, we'll tell you. If you have reason that you might want to consider doing business, we'll figure that out together. But one way or the other, you're going to walk away knowing something you didn't know when you walked in. And that is almost a guarantee.
Yeah, almost. As close as you can come in this business to a guarantee.
All right, this week in the market.
Well, it was a little bit of a wild ride. We saw the Dow ended up down more than 200 points from last week, or about 1.2%.
No thanks to Friday.
Yeah, Friday it really tanked. In a break from the recent trend, the NASDAQ lost the least this week, down only 0.4% from last week. Excuse me. The S&P dropped 0.5%, but the real story is that we saw 3 days this week where the Dow moved 200 points, or close to it. And that has not been the case recently. So two of those days were down and one was up. So two of them kind of washed each other out. But then Friday really was where we saw most of the downside this week.
Which was amazing because there really wasn't a good reason for it.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I would have guessed it was going the other way after some of the reports we saw. So year to date, the S&P and the Dow are still hanging on to really narrow gains of less than 1%, while the NASDAQ is down almost 6%. Next week marks the end of earnings season when Walmart reports, and that may help help curb some of those big moves we've been seeing with no more earnings reports coming out, because it's really been, the market's been reacting both ways to earnings reports. So on average, companies that have missed earnings this quarter have been getting beat up to the tune of about 3.6%. And on the other hand, companies that have beat their earnings have only gained 1.6%, and companies that come in line with estimates have dropped 1.2%. So overall,
not good enough just to do what you say you're going to do.
Right. Not these days. Yep. Well, a lot of those expectations are lowered anyway.
That's
so
true.
Then when you meet them, it's not really that impressive. Despite all the gloom and doom that's filling the airwaves right now, this week actually produced some pretty good economic data, wouldn't you say? Of the 16 reports that came out, only 4 missed their targets, and the rest either met or beat expectations. One of those that missed expectations this week was the initial jobless claims, which have been pretty much consistently beating expectations for many weeks up until last week. It's important to remember that 2 weeks in this report do not make a trend, but 294,000 jobs versus the 248,000 we saw just 4 weeks ago is a pretty large rise. However, you have to remember that claims are still below the historically important 300,000 level, so let's see what happens next week before we start thinking that something's going on there.
You're
going
to see some turmoil in the jobs numbers now for the next few weeks, too, because college students are entering the market as they graduate.
Oh, that's true.
The May-June era, every year, there's some little bumps in the road. I would look at trends much more than numbers.
Absolutely, as always. I mean, some of those numbers, they're very... very volatile from month to month or week to week. So
the calendar is an arbitrary cutoff to measure anything.
Exactly. One report that really crushed expectations was the retail sales report, which was coming off a very disappointing April.
And that's why I said Friday was so weird, because that's what the market was hanging its hat on.
Well, that one came out on Thursday, so that's why I thought Friday would be
up. Yeah, so Friday should have blown it away.
The forecast was for 0.8% growth, and the actual number came in at 1.3%. So not only was it better, but it was 63% better than expected. That's significant.
Yeah.
The biggest contributors to the gains were in autos, gas stations, and online retailers.
And even if you factor those out, it was a good month.
Yeah, it was.
Everybody knows you're spending more on gasoline. Wait, you drive the same number of miles, gasoline's up from $1.60 to about $2.22 nationwide. So, yeah, you're going to spend a little more. But factoring that out, it was still a great month for retail.
Yeah. But then all the reports were how bad it was because a lot of that retail is moving online. So they were saying that store retail is down. But you have to look at the whole picture. You can't just look at one part and say, oh, doom and gloom.
Yeah, but 24/7 news and all kinds of websites, so you got to keep talking.
It's true. And try and get clicks.
Yep.
Lastly, the job openings and labor turnover report, known as JOLTS, beat expectations as well. The report didn't show huge growth in the labor market, but it was a solid report across the board. It showed job openings stayed more or less flat month over month at 5.8 million, and hires were down just slightly to 5.3 million. The quit rate stayed at 2.1%, which is actually equivalent to what it was back in 2006 when things were booming. And the layoffs and discharge rate stands at 1.2%, which is also equivalent to 2006. So it's really hard to say that it's bad out there when you're getting numbers like these coming out that are equivalent to one of the best years that this country's ever seen.
Yep, and consumer confidence took a sharp jump in a late-breaking number this week. Very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, I'm looking for this market to go sideways to up for quite some time. I just don't see the big crash coming, although you can read it. 80% crash coming in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
When you see those headlines, folks, click somewhere else.
Run away.
Yeah, this is just craziness out there. The political silly season is at its all-time high. Pay no attention.
Yeah, and the thing is, when we're in an election cycle like we are right now, all the candidates running have a vested interest in the economy being bad, because if they don't say they're going to fix it, what are they going to promise you besides free college and stuff like that?
You got all these diversions like the potty parody or whatever it is.
Waste of airtime.
I have it figured out.
Okay.
I identify now as a billionaire. How's that?
Good luck with that.
So then I am one, right?
Well, don't go spending all your money then.
I'm just going to use the billionaire's bathroom.
That's fair.
Okay, I thought so. All right, we're going to hopefully have an energy expert calling at 10:30, and Adam wanted to put a little focus on the energy sector because, as you know, if you've listened to us anytime or are a client, we are very fond of the energy sector. It has been pummeled, thwapped, beaten, and kicked around, but it's getting better.
It is.
It's so how to invest, if when, all those things. We're going to be talking about that. So set it up, and then hopefully we'll get really into what's happening out there at the 10:30 mark. By the way, lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255.
So this week I looked at a bunch of ETFs that track the energy sector, and I looked at the top 10 based on assets under management. And it turns out that of those, there's three distinct categories within those top 10. The first is energy, ones that track energy companies, and those make up five of the top 10, and only one of them is a global one. The other four are North American energy companies. The last category, or the second category actually, is ones that track MLPs, which are master limited partnerships, and there were four of them represented there. And the other one was an oil exploration and oil and gas exploration and drilling type ETF.
I love that one, but I seem to be the only one.
Well, actually, it's done fairly well
recently,
too.
Yeah, it's starting to come back.
But it's been a really rough 2 years or so. Yeah, bad. So the statistics that I looked at for all these ETFs include assets under management, expense ratio, returns on a year-to-date, one-year, three-year, five-year, and 10-year basis, yield, PE ratio, number of holdings, methodology, and also I looked at the grade that was given to them by ETF.com, which is a website that I use for research on ETFs. It's a good resource. If you haven't been there and you're an ETF investor, I recommend it. For the ETFs that track energy companies, like I mentioned, four of them track only U.S. companies. All four of those are market cap weighted. Well, one, FXN, uses a proprietary tiered weighting and selection process, which sounds something like a smart beta type ETF. XLE is by far the largest by AUM with almost $14 billion.
It's a big industry.
It really is. It tracks a market cap weighted index of the largest energy companies in the S&P 500. Because of this, there are only 40 holdings in the fund, and it doesn't really give broad market exposure. The nature of this fund makes it very concentrated in a few large U.S. companies. And in fact, the two largest companies, ExxonMobil and Chevron, make up 34% of the fund. So really important to know what you're getting into when you go out and pick an ETF to buy.
Got a big, big, big company followed with some other big, big companies and then a couple of big companies. So it is very hard to diversify completely.
Well, just real quick, if you buy the Vanguard equivalent, it actually owns 98% of the energy companies in the market. It's a lot bigger in terms of number of holdings.
Okay, great. Well, like I said, we're expecting a phone call in at the bottom of the hour with an energy expert, and we can pick this up and get some good insight into what's really going on out there. Trivia question is still open. What percentage of retail sales are done online now? We know it's less than 15%. All right, we're up on a hard break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Hugh Hewitt, Laura Ingram, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, WBOB, 94.1 and AM 600. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Iranians are holding an international contest for cartoons depicting the Holocaust. Organizers insist the event is aimed at criticizing alleged Western double standards regarding free expression, not at denying the Nazi genocide. But the event could embarrass Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and other moderates who have tried to improve ties with the West following last year's controversial nuclear deal. Suicide bombers have attacked a residential and government complex west of Baghdad, killing at least six people. That's according to the town's police chief. The Afghan government expected to finalize a peace deal with a notorious militant group of insurgents within days, according to an official and a representative of the group. The deal is partially symbolic, as the group in question has been essentially inactive for years, but it provides much-needed success for the beleaguered administration of President Asaf Rouhani. This is SRN News.
Hi, got any tires?
There's no such thing as any tires here. Only the exact right tires for your vehicle, because this is Ford service and we're the specialist.
But I get a choice, right?
We have 13 name brands, tires you can trust, with a low price tire guarantee.
Okay.
I'm putting my tire specialist on this case, codename Treads.
He has a codename?
He's forgotten more about tires than the rest of us will ever know. And he hasn't forgotten anything.
I'll remember that.
He's got high-performance tires, all-season tires, low-rolling resistance efficiency tires.
Get the picture.
Don't interrupt me, buddy.
Yes, sir.
I've only got one word for you, my friend. Rebate.
Now get $120 rebate by mail on four select tires when you use the Ford Service credit card at the Big Tire event. Subject to credit approval, rebate by prepaid debit card. Competitive ad required for tire guarantee within 30 days. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined with Ford Service credit card rebate or offer. See your participating Ford dealer for details through 6/30/16.
Ford parts, Ford tools, Ford techs. When your Ford needs service, you need the specialists.
Thinning or balding hair? IHRS can now stimulate hair growth and reverse thinning hair for both men and women by using your own stem cells through platelet-rich plasma treatments. You will obtain rapid new hair growth through your own stem cells by using your own blood through platelet-rich plasma. This is a safe and easy procedure with no downtime. Now you can stimulate hair growth and obtain healthier and more hair as early as 3 months after one treatment. For more information, call IHRS at 904-425-5095. That's 904-425-5095. Now you can stimulate hair growth and reverse thinning hair by using your own hair stem cells through platelet-rich plasma in your frontal hairline, crown area, and entire top of your head. This is a safe and easy procedure with no downtime. For more information, call 904-425-5095. That's 904-425-5095.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday and Thursday, May 18th and 19th from 9 to 3, it's the City of Jacksonville Senior Expo at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Wednesday, May 18th, starting at 12 noon, the Jacksonville Suns take on the Montgomery Biscuits at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville. And Wednesday, May 18th at 6 p.m., enjoy free weekly group runs at the Fernandina Beach High School track.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
How long will it take to get where you're going? WBOB 94.1 has the answer.
There's a crash at the West Beltway of 295 over there at the southbound exit ramp at Wilson Boulevard. And the road is still blocked at Fort Caroline Road at St. John's Bluff Road North due to a crash. Going to be sunny today, tomorrow. Looking for highs into the 80s. Clear tonight, low 62. Sunday night, mostly clear. Low 64, still 79. WBOB 94.1, the answer.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back. Second half hour of the Van Wee Financial Hour on a beautiful TPC weekend. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And on the line, we are very, very pleased to have Dr. Ellen Wald, PhD, with a bio so long I wouldn't even get to talk to her if I tried to read it to you. So I will compress it mightily. She's an expert in energy, Middle East politics, Saudi Arabia, that kind of thing. She's going to give us our view. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for taking your time this morning to talk to our folks. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. So I'm a consultant and a writer on global energy issues, especially oil markets and geopolitics. I also teach Middle East history and politics at Jacksonville University. I have a PhD in energy history, and some of the publications I write for include Modern Trader magazine, Forbes.com.
I've heard of them.
And I also have a weekly newsletter that you can sign up for on my website, which is www.ellenrwald.com.
That's W-A-L-D for people who are listening. All right, cool. One of the main things that I want to do, as you know, we are interested in investing and investors. So looking at this energy market over the past few years, we have seen the price of gasoline fall from about $4 to $1.60 and then reverse itself up to about $2.22 this morning. Can you tell us why it's been gyrating so much over the past few years?
Sure. Well, that's really a very big question. The biggest answer to the question of why gasoline fell from about $4 to below the $2 mark has to do really with a global oil glut. Around mid-2014, oil prices started to fall, to about the $80 barrel level. But then in November, OPEC decided not to enforce production quotas. And so big players in OPEC could basically produce as much oil as they wanted, and that's exactly what they did. And that really dropped the price of oil to the point where a lot of shale oil companies in the United States couldn't compete. And the process has been quite slow, but we are seeing a rise in the price of oil now because a lot of these companies are slowing down. Some of them are going bankrupt or being bought. And so it's been a very slow process, but that kind of covers the precipitous drop and then the very, very slow climb. Within that slow climb up, we see a lot of gyrations, largely due to speculation, and sometimes a supply disruption here or there can kind of cause prices to jump. And then another decision, maybe by a big producer to increase prices, can cause it to drop again.
We've got an oil price today about $46 a barrel. Where do you think it's going?
So I think that for right now, it's probably going to stay around that level. We saw some increases in the price of oil recently, mostly due to supply disruptions in Canada and also in Libya, believe it or not. I do think that in the short term, the price of oil will probably drop, not as low as, the almost $30 barrel we saw back, during the winter months. But OPEC is going to be meeting again in June, and the expectation is really to maintain this producer free-for-all policy. And I think that that will cause a slight drop in the price of oil.
Do you ascribe any motive to OPEC not doing what to me would appear to be the obvious thing and cutting back, causing an increase in pricing?
Well, there are a bunch of reasons. And the most important thing to realize is that OPEC is a cartel that's made up of some really large producers and some not so large producers. And the large producers really have most of the weight. And right now, the largest producer is Saudi Arabia. That's interesting because technically Venezuela actually has the largest crude oil reserves, or at least known crude oil reserves right now, but Saudi Arabia has much better infrastructure, much better national oil company, And they're in much better shape. So they're really in the position to be calling the shots here. And for Saudi Arabia and also its Gulf allies like Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and other Gulf area countries, they really don't need high oil prices right now. That's not their primary motive. And so they see no reason to try to enforce production quotas that really won't be helpful to them in the long run. You have to remember that Saudi Arabia's main goal is long-term profit. They don't need the money now. They'd rather extend their profits long-term. And so they're perfectly fine with having low oil prices now, you know, pumping a lot of oil, selling a lot of oil, buying up assets, pumping up their refining industry in order, in the long run, to reap in profits down the road. And it's sad for other oil producers like Venezuela, Algeria, who want higher prices, but the fact is they're not the one calling the shots right now.
Aramco is in the throes of monetizing some of Saudi Arabia's wealth through an initial public offering of a small portion of it. What would be your opinion of that as a long-term investment?
That's a very interesting thing, and I think it really depends right now on how they choose to do that IPO, if, in fact, it is going to happen. It seems like it's going to go through, but Saudi Arabia is a country that works very slowly, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some significant delays in it. However, I think it really largely depends on the kind of shares that they offer and how they're packaged essentially to maybe foreign investors. Because we have to remember that Saudi Arabia, the country, basically uses dividends from Aramco, profits from Aramco, to fund its country. And so it's a very, very successful oil company. It's extremely successful. And in my opinion, will probably continue to be an extremely successful company. But at the same time, you know, if they're going to offer classes of shares like the ones that the government essentially gets, it could be a very lucrative investment. On the other hand, if they don't offer dividends that are quite as good, then it might not be quite as interesting an investment.
Do you worry about the lack of transparency in Saudi Arabia? In other words, can you trust their accounting?
I think you can trust Aramco's accounting. One of the things you have to remember is that Aramco was originally a Western American company. And it was an American company for many, many years. And unlike other oil companies, other national oil companies, Saudi Arabia didn't just nationalize the company outright. It didn't take it by legislation or by force. It bought the company over many, many years. And over that period of time, Saudis were trained, were educated in American schools, worked for the company, worked their way up. And so this is a company that is extremely efficient, has some of the best management principles in the world. But yeah, it doesn't have to be particularly transparent. So it is a concern. But on the other hand, I think you can trust that the Saudis will always do what's in their best interest, which is maximizing long-term profits.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of all that history. I wasn't a big follower of it way back when, but I appreciate your insight into that one because it might make us feel a little bit better. I know when this thing does happen, we're going to get inquiries about it in our day-to-day business, and now I'll have a little bit better whatever insight or idea about what to tell people about it because I was frankly a little worried about that. Didn't know if they subscribed to GAAP accounting and that sort of thing.
I'm actually in the process of writing a book about Saudi Aramco and that process. So you know, hopefully, when the time comes, you can recommend that to your clients as well, because I think it will provide a lot of insight into the mindset and the goals and the practices of the company as it slowly became a Saudi company over a long process in many years.
Interesting. Ellen, we're up on a hard break. Would you mind holding over through the next break? I just want to follow up. I've got a sort of a general overview question I'd like to finish on. Is that okay with you?
Sure. We'd love to.
Thank you very much. All right. I do want to talk a little bit after the break about something other than oil, but still energy. There are a lot of forms of energy. Really would like to get Ellen's opinion as an energy expert on what we might do to diversify our energy holdings, what she sees as the future. And the big question of the day, what about politics? Does it matter in the oil industry? All right, we've got a hard break coming up. Don't go anywhere. Enjoy this wonderful day, but enjoy it after the show. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Has your health insurance changed, or is it about to change? Are you or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. Not available in all states.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call.
Call 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are about to wrap up our call with Professor Ellen Wald, who is an energy expert. I've got a couple questions left. I want to mention, George, stay on the line. We're going to do this, and then I'll get right to you. Are you there?
Yes.
Good. All right. I have listed a few things here. Types of energy: oil, coal, solar, nuclear, hydroelectric, geothermal, thermal, wind. What do you see as the prospects for investing and using? In other words, where's the future of energy going? Because that's what we want to know from a long-term perspective.
It's a very good question. I think that the future of energy is still very much a mix of sources. And obviously the question is, in what kinds of ratios? I think that reports of the demise of hydrocarbons are greatly exaggerated, particularly because even if particular areas or well-developed countries seem to be trying to push more of the renewable solar, wind, electricities, a lot of developing countries are really doing that on the backs of hydrocarbons, of oil, of coal, et cetera. And so I think that we're still in an economy that's very much fueled by oil in particular, but also other kinds of hydrocarbons. So I don't think that we're about to give up on that yet. And I don't think that it's really going to decrease much significantly for a long time. The kinds of technologies that I think are really much more promising are energy efficiency type of innovations. And so I think that it's going to extend even the use of these hydrocarbon energies. It's interesting, though, to think about nuclear power because it seems there's always a case, you know, nuclear power rises and then there's a disaster and then it falls. I don't think that nuclear power is going to grow as a significant source of energy, particularly because the regulations to actually bring a nuclear plant online are so incredibly onerous that it takes so long that it's not really something that I see as increasing. I do, however, think that natural gas is definitely going to continue to grow as a sector. You know, right now natural gas prices are pretty low, but I think that as liquefied natural gas technologies increase and the ability to ship that around the world, I do foresee natural gas becoming more of a global commodity, kind of like oil is, than it is now. And that's going to be, I think, very interesting and could pose some interesting opportunities for investment in the future.
I agree, and it seems to be a lot more socially acceptable to the environmentalist types to use natural gas than any other hydrocarbon. In fact, I'm sure some of them don't even think of it as a hydrocarbon.
Yes, it is, however. It's just not as, doesn't pollute as much as oil. I don't think that oil is really going to decrease significantly, though, as a share of energy, as much as people would like it to. The interesting thing with wind and solar is that I don't think the technologies are really there yet for them to increase significantly as a portion of our energy generation without real and significant government assistance. And so whether or not, you know, if that assistance continues, if subsidies and things like that continue in solar and wind, then, you know, we'll continue to grow, and that might be a sector you want to look at. But as always, the political situation can change, so it's definitely something to keep your eye on.
All right, one final question, if you will. What role will politics play in energy in the future, if any?
That's a great question. I think that the biggest role that politics plays in energy, particularly in the United States, is in regulation. And one of the things that the United States really suffers from is a lack of new and expanded energy infrastructure. So pipelines, for example, refineries, these are the kinds of things that face really long regulatory hurdles. And this isn't a new thing. It's been going on since, you know, since the 70s and 80s, but it's gotten progressively worse. And so I think that the biggest effect that politics can have on energy is the regulation. And if regulations to develop our energy infrastructure decrease, then then we'll see more pipelines, more ways to transport energy safely and efficiently will develop, particularly natural gas and oil. But if those regulations increase, then it's going to become more and more expensive, and we're not going to see as much of that happening.
And that answers the political question, doesn't it, right there?
Yes.
Great. All right. Thank you very much for sharing with us. We'd love to have you on again. Let your newsletter people know, that includes Adam and me, when the book is ready, and we'll read it, and then we'll talk again.
Wonderful, and it was a pleasure to be here, and like I said, you can sign up for my newsletter and read more of my writings on my website, ellenrwald.com.
And anybody who wants that can email us or call us at the office, and we'll be happy to furnish it for them if they missed it.
Terrific.
Thanks, Ellen. We really appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Have a great day.
Thank you. George.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
I work for a company that supplies technology to every refinery in the world. as well as some offshore stuff, Universal Oil Products. They're part of Hewlett-Packard now, as well as Royal Dutch Shell and other companies. And there are two points I wanted to make for Ellen. Number one, when the price of oil is forced down by the Saudis intentionally to take out the smaller producers, like small offshore producers in the Gulf of Mexico, at one of our hosts on Saturday afternoon was heavily involved in that, and he was stressed because they were doing this to his group, who had some platforms. What we need to look at is when oil prices drop that far, we need to move the people from offshore to build a larger strategic petroleum reserve. And it was originally intended to stabilize the prices of oil and gas, and it's not being done. There's not a big enough strategic petroleum reserve, and I doubt that Obama's really doing the right thing with that. And then the second thing I wanted to say is the oil companies are collecting $1 trillion a year in taxes on a local basis, state basis, and federal basis, giving it to the federal government. Mm-hmm. That is enough to build roads, which we're not doing, repair bridges, and replace poverty that we have in this country, $800 billion a year plus is spent on that, and move people to IRAs. In other words, rebates, like they do in Alaska. Alaska, you get a rebate on your oil taxes. They call it something else, but
yeah, and sometimes it's pretty big, over $6,000 a piece.
Right, it goes
not so much right now.
Right on up, and the pipelines have not been full as of last year. I haven't checked them this year. The other part of all of this is that if you were to take that $1 trillion of taxes off of oil and put it on solar and wind, the cost of energy would be astronomical if you took oil and gas out of the picture. And so there's a lot of funny business going on in Washington. They're basically lying to us. The other part of all that is if you go ahead and switch this thing over, getting people on IRAs as we're losing jobs to offshore and which we hope will reverse, and to automation, we'll have more people who are capitalist and they hold funds, and everybody in the country should hold funds, just like the workers in Chile. Not all of the funds. It still should be an open market. And I've touched up my internet site and petition, which Hatch and Isaacson, Al Franken, and Bill Nelson are working on. They have two different views. The Democrats want to just create more debt to create an IRAs, in other words, buy bonds. And the Republicans want to go ahead and invest people in the market but still have Social Security as a backup.
Yeah, it works every time it's tried.
Right. So if you'll go to the USA Funds, that's with an S on the end, theusafunds.wordpress.com.
That's a new one to me.
You'll see the bill I proposed. I need to clean that up a little bit more. We only did the IRA for retirement first because we thought maybe we could get that through Obama. But we really want five different funds in the mix, and not touching what you're doing now, not messing with your existing IRAs, et cetera.
But well, we will definitely take a look at that, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody.
Music's playing. Thank you. I appreciate your insight as always. You're a very knowledgeable guy. Take care of yourself. All right, folks. It's almost time that you're allowed now to go out and go to the tournament. Just give me a few minutes to drive down Butler before you hit it, okay?
What was the answer to that trivia question?
That trivia question was that retail sales done online now are up to 10%. As Adam pointed out earlier, that's up from zero. It's a steady or growing process. That's what it is, folks. When you look at retail, make darn sure you include online if you're really a diversified investor. All right, we're going to be back next week. Take care out there. Truly treat all the out-of-town people with some respect. We'll all get them back next year to spend even more money here. All right, we got to run. We're out of here. See you next week, same time. You listen to the Van Wee Financial Hour.